Disciples or students, but he would also write learned commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. Once he came to this verse which we have just now sung. The last line says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. I bring to them what they need. So Dronacharya says that this verse doesn't work. I mean, Krishna never gives us provisions. We are so poor. We only have this cloth between us. And I think this verse is not very correct. And he took his pen in his manuscript of the Gita and he erased that part. I carry personally what they need. This is some interpolation. It came later. Krishna speaks truthfully, but this is not truthful. So then he asked his wife for the only cloth. Don't ask me how she was. I mean, she must have been dressed somewhat. Maybe she had leaves, like these leaves, or I don't know. I don't want to imagine also. So he went out, and when he was, as you had just left the house, there was a knocking at the door, and she said, I'm sorry, I'm not in the position to open anyone. But the knocking was insistent. I'm very sorry, I'm not properly dressed, I cannot open. No, Ma, it was a child. You just let me in, I won't look. Because the voice was so, let us say, so trustworthy, and no one is afraid of a child, you know. So she opened it a little bit and she said, I'm waiting in that room. What is it you want? You just speak from the other room. And the boy said, I have just come to bring you some provisions. And as she shyly looked outside the room, she saw that this most beautiful boy. He was very, very nicely built, very attractively built. He had deep lotus eyes like this. Hairs which were waving a little bit because it was a lot of hair, and it was curly hair, and you have to help me, one part of the hair was hanging in one of the eyes, and the boy would remove it and look at her very innocently. And he had put two baskets down, baskets like this, tsk, he had carried them with a stick on his shoulder, and he said, Mother, this is for you. There was ghee, there was rice, there was various kinds of sabjis like potatoes, sweet potatoes, cucumbers, tomatoes, aubergines, ladyfingers, everything, milk, sugar, salt, and a little pepper also. I've brought this. You need it. Who are you? It doesn't matter. Your husband knows me. Well, good. He has just gone out. But now where I have so many nice things, I can cook already the meal. You just stay there, maybe take a little rest. I will cook and then my husband comes and I will serve him and you can eat with him. And this, the boy became very serious. You know, she was just looking there and conversing, like covered a little by the wall. The boy said, I won't eat with your husband because he's very cruel by nature. Pardon all my heart, that's the second neighbor is like this, but my husband is a good Brahmin. No, I'm scared of him. I better go now. The boy turned around, and as he was walking away, the wife of Arjuna Chaya saw two bleeding streaks, as if someone had taken a fountain pen with a sharp metal pointer and had inflicted a long wound on the back. Was bleeding, and the boy quickly left. So when Arjunacharya came back, he saw an unusual scene. His wife was there eating Arjunacharya said, Devi, you usually, first of all, there was nothing in the house, I had to go and beg, but somehow you found something, but you usually wait for me and serve me first. No, I'm eating. You're seeing it. Why are you eating? Some new custom has come. Yes, henceforward I will always eat before you, because you are cruel, especially to young boys. Please explain yourself. There was this boy who brought the provision. He said, you're cruel. He didn't even wait until I had cooked something. And when he turned around, I understood what he meant when he said, you're cruel. You apparently had scratched him on the back so severely that you had inflicted a bleeding long wound upon his back. What? Tell me about the boy. So she told him everything. She told him about the nice voice of the boy, his demeanor, how he had brought things. Arjunacharya could understand. The same one who spoke, I personally take care of my devotee, has come to our house and proven his words true by bringing provisions like rice and everything. Krishna has visited me, but I, cruel as I am, ignorant as I am, I crossed his words out with my pen that he would do this. So Arjunacharya ran to the Gita, and he saw on the Gita, when he crossed out Yoga Kshemam Vahamyam, there was a bleeding red line now. Oh no, I've offended my Lord, I've crossed him. And he immediately rode back over the corrected line, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyam. My dear devotees, this story Prabhupada told me when I was a young man. And I thought a nice story, but I don't believe it. But then the next day we were at the Berlin temple. Our money ran out. We had no money any longer to buy anything. And what was even more disturbing, we couldn't pay the rent. We were already 3 months back, and the landowner had said, if you don't give me in 3 months, I mean, you're good people, but I have to put you on the streets again. You know, our relationship as landlord and the person who rents a flat is canceled from that day on. I remember it was in that time, and I thought, but now I have heard this lecture of Srila Prabhupada in the Gita, and he had given this little story that Krishna came personally to his poor devotees to maintain him. If Krishna wants to convince Sachinandan Swami, he convinced Arjunacharya. But if he cares for Sachinandan Swami, then tomorrow I would like to see the rent, the money which we need to pay the rent for 3 months. And my dear devotees, I am telling you the truth. I'm an old man now, I have no reason to lie. I'm telling you truthfully, tomorrow, the next morning, when I went to take out the mail out of the mailbox, there was a letter inside addressed to the temple, so I thought that was the letter where the landlord cancelled his relationship with us and then threw us out. So I waited, I went through all the other letters and there were only bills. Then I went to this dreaded last letter and you know, there were 500 German marks in there. That's like nowadays $2,500. I thought, now this foolish Sachinandan Swami is also convinced. Krishna had come, put the letter in the thing. It was strange, there were no postal marks on it. Someone had just thrown it in. I think Krishna had not come with 2 baskets carrying rice, ghee, sabjis and so on. Krishna had come and brought an envelope, and in the envelope there was enough wealth to pay the rent and also the bills. I never forget this. But my dear devotees, the way Krishna takes care of a devotee is not necessarily by giving them money or sabjis or ghee and so on. What is even more of that, what Krishna does even more, he takes care of the inner darkness in the heart. Inner darkness is an expression which refers to faithlessness. Inner darkness is when we are not enthusiastic, when we are mental, when we are desperate, when we doubt that this all makes sense, when we are down and out. Do we have this in American English? Down and out. What? Yes. We have. At that time, Krishna comes to the devotee in a special way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this. When the devotee has taken Namashraya, means shelter in the holy name, the Krishna comes like the sun in the sky of his heart, you know, inside his heart, and he, just like the sun who drives away the darkness, Krishna comes and drives away the desperation, the hopelessness, the doubts. And Krishna in his very, very nice form as the holy name, rising like the sun in the sky of the heart, removes our ignorance. So I'm really thinking, my dear devotees, that this is a very, very good motto for our coming little time where we spend time together tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. It's about Krishna arriving in our heart. What is the use of a Krishna who is far away? A philosophized Krishna, someone we think, yes, he's there in the transcendence somewhere, 2,500 light years away from me. We want to feel Krishna, we want to breathe Krishna's fragrance as we breathe the fragrance of our neighbor in the bunk bed. We want to feel Krishna that close, no? I'm speaking very practically. And that I wanted to talk tomorrow about a few things related to my book, The Living Name. When I saw your good name, please.
Jayanti.
Jayanti has the best t-shirt today. It shows a great wave. Well, this means appreciation, Manjari. Appreciation. Instead of, yeah. Like Abhishek, no? Yes. So that's a great wave of enthusiasm, no? Which is on my new book, The Living Name, no? And I have also this wave from this name, but a new book called The Living Name. I will give you a few practical suggestions how the Krishna Sun can rise in your life so that you feel always his shelter and never feel bereft of his presence, never feel, oh, Krishna is too far away from me. So we will start tomorrow, and I have a little request. I think now we have just arrived, but we should make this room outlandishly beautiful, you know, with nice decorations. We can maybe use nature's flowers, or maybe some of you have nice cloth. It looks a little bit as if it's a gypsy camp. Maybe we can ask some of the Matajis. Matajis have good taste. Is this a good arrangement with here being the altar? Seems, no?
Benches are on the side here, so it's the natural way.
Yes, I also thought like this. So maybe you can all think of something that is really beautiful and looks hopeful. And
we can remove the tables.
Yeah. So that there is not even one little cause of depression in this room. I'm very happy. For me, this is just like you, the end of the summer tour. Just like you, I'm a little exhausted. But just like you, my heart, like yours, just like yours, my heart is full. And really, what I have seen, my dear devotees, if you sincerely look for Krishna's shelter, then I think if you can take this as a lesson from the bus tour, Krishna Sharanam Namashrayate, the shelter of Krishna, then you can take this experience with you wherever you go in your life, whatever you will do in your life. You will know the difference between shelter and just finding temporary relief. I think, you know, so many people mistake relief for shelter. What I mean is, when you're hungry, you find relief in food. When you're bored, which can happen anytime, you find relief in some entertainment or good conversation. When you're tired, you find relief in good and uninterrupted sleep. But you will feel hungry again. You will feel bored again. And you will find yourself tired again and exhausted. This will naturally come. If you only know to go for relief in your life, you will be struggling your whole life. But if you can find shelter in your life, then whatever you are, wherever you are, you will find extreme pleasure in your heart and see auspiciousness in all the four directions. So we want to talk a little bit about Namashraya, taking shelter in the holy name, from tomorrow onwards. I will end here now. Any questions you have, so you want to ask before you take your prasad? Yes.
Do you want any specific setup for the room, for the retreat, or
any specific setup for the room? I think it's good if this is an altar, but we can remove this here, the ghetto blaster, and this, just put it, and maybe put a nice cloth on the thing. And just a beautiful room. I don't think so. This can go.
But sitting like this around?
Okay. I think this is good, no? And also, some of you are a little older, you want to sit on the bench. I'm joking. It's all right to sit on benches, but please don't feel unbenched by me. No, you are creative young people. You use your fantasy. Maybe ivory here. No, I don't know. Whatever it is. Whatever is possible. You can ask Manuram. He knows. Yes.
I have a question.
What is your good name?
Gorangi Gandharvika.
Gorangi Gandharvika. Yes, please.
Try to just follow Krishna wants for us and the path he wants us to take without, you know, trying to plan too much or letting our mind try to. How do we allow Krishna to just take care of our lives?
How do we allow Krishna to just take care of our life? How do we know what Krishna wants?
Yeah,
that's not so easy. You know, when I was, it started with me when I was very small. I was maybe one of the two wildest boys of Germany. The wildest was my friend Lawrence. And the second wildest was I saw I had a few times ended up in hospitals because I was just so wild. And then I decided I must change something. And I started to regularly pray as a young boy. And somehow I forgot about this, but now as I'm older, I regularly pray. And do you know what I pray? Your good name is Gorangi Gandharvika. I don't pray for, you know, Krishna, show me everything and take care of everything. I say, Krishna, please show me my next steps. Because, you know, we all get desperate when we hear of the highest goals, you know. We always got Gorangi, always 100% surrendered and extremely, you know, 8 hours book distribution minimum, and the rest kitchen service, you know. When we hear such things, it's uninspiring and unpractical. But if we if we take care of our next steps, Do you know life is really a summa summarum, that's a Latin word, a sum, you would say, sum to sum up, a sum of the small steps which you take every day. And I think there, you should know the small steps you should do every day, doable steps, relevant steps, and that will make you a successful devotee. Not necessarily in, let me say, alpine high projection. I'm traveling with a very nice assistant always, Krishna, and he is from your generation. He was also born in Krishna consciousness, brought up by devotee parents. And he once told me, he said, Guru Maharaj, I'm different from you. You made a conscious choice to serve Krishna. For us, there was never a choice. We always, you know, we grew up like this. The rasagulas and sweet balls in our mouths. There was no choice. Should we eat meat or should we eat vegetarian food? You know, it was clear. Our parents brought us to the temple and so on and so forth. And yet it is so different, so absolutely necessary for me to choose Krishna. What can I do? I want to choose Krishna. Now there is a saying. Krishna says, I choose those who choose me. Krishna says, I choose. Is that the right English word? You have to help me. My English is an unfinished painting. Room for improvement is that. I choose those who choose me. So do something to choose Krishna. For him, Krishna came as a beautiful Gopal. Maybe tomorrow we can bring Gopal along. He can bless all of us. Our Gopal is called Gopal Raj. Gopal the king, you will see, he's really big. Yes, and I choose those. And he now does every day puja to Gopal. He tries to do it first thing before, in the morning before he takes his meals. Sometimes it's not possible because traveling means crazy schedules, but that's the ideal. Something which he does, which he can do, and that changed everything in his life. So I think you all need to have things which are doable for you that you choose to do. Every day is best. Like you can say, I chant one Hare Krishna mantra attentively. Wow! That would be an improvement. Or you can, you know, something doable. And if you do that every day, then you, at the end, you will become a surrendered and happy Vaishnava. But these big things, you know, I will be a fully surrendered soul, and this and that. It's nice to think like this, but you can never think yourself into perfection. You must act with something practical. This is how you become a fully surrendered soul. Krishna is so impressed by every little thing that you do for him. When we sing Kaliya Damana Vidana, the subduer of Kaliya, he didn't kill Kaliya like all the other demons, have you noted? He danced on his head and danced the poison out of his body. Poison went somewhere, some more poison vent. Finished! No more poison. So, because he had seen, Kaliya had embraced him. And Krishna took it as a sign of the beginning stages of bhakti. So Krishna takes every little small thing and makes it something very big. There were once two great devotees talking, and one devotee said, "Why do you like Krishna so much?" One devotee said, "Listen, Krishna is prepared to forgive the greatest mistakes of his devotees. And he takes whatever little quality the devotee has, good quality, and magnifies it, makes it very big. This is why I love Krishna so much." Good, no? So therefore, do something practically every day. That's how you become eventually a very powerful Vaishnavi. Krishna, I think we should also look at the wristwatch or whatever watch is there. This is, oh, you would say 7 minutes past nine. Maharaj, the evening is very young. Yeah, we should see how far the prasadam is, no? Okay, one more question. You please help me again. You said your good name, but Devaki, isn't it simple?
About choosing Krishna, I
wanted to know whether one should always choose Krishna, even if it might affect our material aspirations. I think if we have material aspirations, we should make Krishna part of that. Let us say you want to become a violin player. Play also violin for Krishna. I was once preaching to an opera star. He was a young opera star. Usually when you think opera star, you think of a woman or a man who is as big as an elephant. Diva, I know. But it was a very young lady, very charismatic and all. And there had been accident. She had been attacked in a dark place of a parking house by a man with sick motives. He was sick, sickly. And it was coming very close to what a woman fears most, not the abuse sort of situation. And 2 weeks later, I met this lady. She was not at all affected. She was very happy. I said, "You are not traumatized by what happened." "No, Maharaj, I'm doing Taekwondo now." Taekwondo. "But I do it for Krishna. I do it to protect myself for Krishna." So I thought that was a very, very interesting version of Yukta Vairagya, you know, that you use the things of this world for Krishna. Also material things, you know, can be used for Krishna. It is in all other yoga path, you need to leave the world. In Krishna consciousness, you take even the world and engage it in service for Krishna. I must admit to you, I have made use of this when I was young. I appreciated very much music when I was young. And then I thought I have not yet used my musical appreciation. So we created a group called Gauranga Bhajan Group. Whoa, that is a Bhajan group. We had large stadiums full, you know, sometimes it's 30,000 people. This is not the super large stadiums, but large enough. 30,000, 33,000 one evening. And afterwards there would be newspaper articles because I would dance very, very elegantly on the stage. I would dress in a really flaming red dhoti. I would come on the stage with a huge ball like this, which is the from the Meteorological Institute, and it was a green ball, and I would throw it into the crowd, and we would play with the ball, and I would put buckets of perfumed waters on the head of the people. It was really something. Tons of freshly plucked flowers were released from nets out under the ceilings to people, and I was called in the newspapers the Mick Jagger of the spiritual scene. Mick Jagger is a pop singer of the old times, and I felt greatly relieved that my material aspiration was used in Krishna service. So you can do things, but make sure that they are done for Krishna. What is your material aspiration? Sport?
I'm not sure yet.
Not yet, but something.
I like math.
Sorry?
I like math.
To become a mathematic?
Wow.
Yes? And then outwit Albert Einstein. No, for Krishna, Krishna is very creative and all inclusive. He can be used, and I see many devotees doing this. He should not ban Krishna from this world. He's the creator of this world. We can include him. 100%. My dear devotees, should we slowly think of retiring? No, you first come for meal, but then finish?
A few minutes. Serious offering.
You came with the cook with alone?
I was invited by Manurama.
Wonderful, wonderful. And your son is here, no? Yes, yes. It is said in Germany, an army travels on its stomach, not on the feet. So the Guru Pudis travel on their stomachs. Very, very nice. So see you tomorrow in good spirits. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.